Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for him.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's make haste, shall we?
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza featuring your voicemails.
We're going to go so fast today, we're not even going to finish the opener. This is Wretched Radio. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. Why do I sound like I'm on crack? Okay, there was some Cuban coffee involved. But besides that, we have a big stack of emails sent from you to idea@wretched.org, and we want to make haste. So, gentlemen, no dilly-dallying, no blathering this
week.
All
righty. Tim says, how can we communicate to young men that the bonds created in marriage are worth it?
Very carefully. Next.
Seriously?
Carefully.
We model it. We show it. We talk about it. The world loves to show how marriage, it's filled with acrimony, strife, contention. How many sitcoms have been built on that, Archie?
Many.
They all are, frankly. Okay, everybody loves Raymond. Okay, occasionally you saw a glimpse of happiness, but otherwise, weren't they just caustic and just shooting at each other? We've got to model something different. Furthermore, we have got to give men and women the tools. There was a show that I was watching.
Okay.
It was so good that I don't even want to tell you its name because I can't remember it. and the couple was engaged. They were going to get married, and one of them, it was revealed, had an affair. While the other one was traveling, had an affair. And it was now being disclosed, and they sit down in the pastor's office to try to get things sorted out. Wow, Oprah could have done a better job. Okay, granted, it was a movie, but nevertheless, the pastor's advice was something like, well, do you think that there might be still some love there that allows you to continue to fan the flame so that you can love each other again? Gack!
Ugh.
Nothing biblical, nothing Christian about it. And while I know that was a secular movie, nevertheless, I can't help but think that happens in a lot of pastoral counseling sessions. We need to equip young people to forgive and how to do that. There was no mechanism available for this couple. They couldn't do it. They couldn't figure out a way to get over it other than, well, let's just remember the good times and kind of forget that never happened. Well, good luck. And I mean that because it ain't going to work. Let's teach our kids we have a place where they can go to find forgiveness when their spouse sins against them. Perhaps not to that extreme example, but the day-to-day nonsense. Come on. If you don't think that you fought over ridiculous things the first year you were married, you have amnesia.
Huh.
Isn't it true? The
yes.
Dumbest stuff. Okay, to my shame, to my utter shame. It's laughable if it weren't so pathetic. Do you know what I used to get actually angry about with my wife? Ready for this?
We're ready.
Right. Towels. How you fold bath towels.
Oh, how you fold them.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a different story.
There's a way to do it, and there's not. I knew how. My wife didn't know how. Because everybody knows that you don't fold them square to square. You do it thirds. You know, you fold them, and then you roll them up. And then when you even put it into the closet, you put it with the rounded side out so your hand hits it, and it's like, ah.
Yeah, because you know everybody that comes to your house sees your towels.
It's important.
So
I recognized immediately, because I have the gift of discernment, that my wife clearly didn't know how to fold towels correctly. So what did I do? I would, you know, I'll do the towels, dear. And then I'd huff and put him up in front of her, like, see how I'm doing this here? I didn't say it, but let me tell you, I made sure she saw it. See how nice it is when they look this way, dear? And then when you put them in the closet like this instead of like that, are you kidding me? Now, here's the punchline to this pathetic tale. I discovered why it was that I felt that way and insisted the towels are folded that way. It's because that's the way my mother did it. Oh, cool. So now I'm a jerk with mommy issues. That's just great.
At least you learned something.
And I brought that into my marriage. Are you kidding me? How pathetic. How does Mrs. Friel forgive a jerk like me? Well, if she went to the pastor's office in that movie, she wouldn't have anything. But a Christian teacher, a Christian counselor, a biblical counselor will tell you, oh, there's a way, there's a source, there's a fount, and you can tap into it, and you can forgive because you know you have been forgiven much. And you recognize that the few sins that are committed against you pale in comparison to the gross number of sins that you've committed against your God. Now, why don't you ponder that and then start shaming your wife for how she folds towels? And then why don't you try to be mad at him for shaming you for folding towels what he thinks is the wrong way? You both need to get to the cross. We have a mechanism. Are we teaching it? And if we would, I think a whole lot more kids would be excited about marriage, because these days they ain't.
Yep.
Nope.
Idea at wretched.org. Why is marriage so great? Because it is great. Because God invented it. It is the most incredible. Okay, I'm going to sneak in a plug. And this will be a challenge to men, and this might be a balm to the ladies. Ladies, almost certainly you had hoped that you would have pillow talk, couch talk, that was just, we just bared our souls to one another, and it didn't happen. Sir, you're hearing this and you're going, don't you even think about it, Pally. Well, I'm going to, because I want to challenge you, because we like that. So here's the challenge. Sir, if you get drive-by marriage, available at wretched.org with the study guide, and you listen to those 15-minute lectures, and then do these study guide questions with your wife, you, sir, will do the most challenging thing you may have ever done in your entire life. That's taunting. Madam, you will have conversations that you have been longing for. And when you are done, both of you will feel an intimacy with one another that you perhaps have never even thought you could experience. I'm not kidding.
I know what I'm getting my wife for our anniversary.
Oh, perfect. That's, you know what? Yes, because she really needs it.
Yeah, she really needs to listen to this.
Idea at wretched.org. Idea at wretched.org.
All right, so Matt wants to, he goes to 2 Timothy 2 and wants to know that the, if the...
Spit it out, Jimmy.
Yeah, I can't think of the word. I'm trying to condense this, but he wants to know... regarding women exercising authority over men, does that also apply in biblical counseling sessions?
That's a great question. Yeah. That's a really great question. And I think the answer kind of depends on the dynamic of it. I don't know that the issue that there's two issues at hand. It's not an either or kind of affair, or they're kind of related. There's two components. Paul says, I do not allow a woman to preach or have authority over men. And so when the word of God is being taught, that is having authority over anybody. You're preaching, you teach the word to somebody, and you're exercising authority because you are speaking on behalf of God through his word. So that's the admonition. Would biblical counseling do that? First of all, I have to confess to you, I would not say that it is wise, for starters, for a woman to be counseling a man. The dynamic is unwise. Furthermore, I think even men counseling women, it requires very careful thinking and some real wisdom to make sure that things don't go just really ugly in that situation. So there's just some wisdom that needs to get applied to that. Furthermore, I think that the ideal scenario to even avoid it when it starts to get close to that line in that situation, I would simply say this without making this a law, because I could understand how a Christian would disagree with me on this and say, no, it's not a woman exercising authority. She's just trying to help this fellow to be on the safer side. It's probably just better for gender-to-gender counseling. And if you are going to do counseling with a couple, that's a different dynamic. Could I actually see a woman counseling a husband and wife? I hope this doesn't sound inconsistent, but I actually do. Because I think that there's something that a woman can bring to the man to help him understand his wife's understanding of issues and how she processes things. So I hope that doesn't sound inconsistent. I don't want to make a law, but I would say it's better gender to gender, male to male, female to female. And in a case of marital counseling, I think that if a woman is brought in to teach and to help, I wouldn't say that is a violation of that very principle. Maybe that sounds inconsistent, but somehow it works in my noggin. And frankly, that is all that matters to me. Gentlemen, you agree or disagree with that?
I agree with that.
Really?
I do. I do. I agree with that sentiment. I think women bring and can bring a lot to the table, especially you nailed it. But I'm not a woman, so I don't think like a woman.
Wait. What? I know. Hold on. When you joined here, you said that you could identify
that week.
Okay, never mind. Sorry, my bad. I forgot the new gender rules.
It changes every day,
and you're allowed to do that.
Wow, what an interesting life you must lead. And by the way, I got to tell you something. That little pastel number you're wearing, it's adorable.
Thank you.
Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. And should you disagree, I can't even imagine. Please send a correction. Seriously, if you can bring a Bible verse to light to help us do better, because Mike and Jimmy clearly need that, I will help them. You'll send that email to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. Trust me, you are going to want to call this number, 1-844-34-BIBLE. 1-844-34-BIBLE. Why? Because you are going to talk to a very nice representative at MediShare who will share with you the benefits of joining over 400,000 Christians who have shared over $4 billion in medical expenses. This is the alternative perhaps you have been praying for regarding health insurance. This is affordable, biblical health sharing. 1-844-34-BIBLE. The MediShare representative will tell you what you can be saving per month. On average, $500 per month per family. See, I told you you'd want to call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Pretty sure we've all had just about enough of this new normal. I know you're tired of binging on Netflix, you're sick of spending all your money online, and you're bored to tears scrolling through the same news feed over and over again. Well, might I suggest you take a trip? That's right, you don't have to go far. Just head on over to the Wretched website. When you get there, your mood will instantly go from dull and uninspired to energized and eager to consume thousands of hours of free, sound Christian content. What are you going to learn? Well, pretty much anything you want. Theology, hermeneutics, pneumatology, biblical counseling, Christian parenting, marriage, and incredible macrame tips. Okay, fine, no macrame tips, but more Christian teaching and content than you can consume, even through another lockdown. Yep, there really truly is that much to do at the Wretched website. And we haven't even talked about the Wretched store. Oh my goodness, so much going on at wretched.org. So get out of your same tired routine and open up your mind to all things wretched. It's at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
This is not a taunt. It's more like a dare. Don't ask me how that's different than a taunt. This is a double dog dare. Please try not to support preborn.org/wretched and give an ultrasound to a woman who is considering taking the life of her own child for just $28.
When I walked in for the ultrasound and I saw my baby and I heard his heartbeat, my mind changed completely. I couldn't do that to my baby. I have decided to keep it.
Oh, sorry. That would be taunting and daring. Would you please consider providing a $28 ultrasound or multiple ultrasounds through preborn.org/wretched?
I know that with support and with God by my side, I'll be able to do this, not just for me, but for my baby.
Preborn.org/wretched. I dare you not to.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah, that's the sound of self-control. This is Wretched Radio. I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers the descriptions of clips. Can't wait to share with you from Road Trip to Truth, which you can't get now. And I am practicing self-control because I cannot wait to share this with you. The kids, they are not being equipped as they should to head off to university. How do I know? I talk to them all the time. Road Trip to Truth, 13-episode series. It's the bomb diggity. Can't wait for you to be able to have it, and I can't wait for me to be able to tell you about it. In the meantime, if you are going to university campuses, I would like to encourage you to avail yourself of two resources. One, you can get absolutely free, except for shipping. What Time is Purple? You can get a case of them, as many as you promise to give away. And you got to promise to give them away because we don't want to waste money. We don't want to just have, we don't want to wreck the mother and have a bunch of books have to get recycled or burned. So please love the mother and give out all of the copies that we will happily send to you of What Time is Purple. There's another resource that might be very helpful for you. I hold it also. It is 13 reasons why you should not commit suicide and 13 reasons why you should live. If you go to a university campus and you perhaps have been wanting to talk to kids and do more than hand out literature, handing out literature, super groovy. I love it. Do it, please. But if you've been thinking, how do I turn giving somebody an evangelistic booklet into a conversation? This could be your ticket. You can hand it to them, but don't let go and say, do you see what the title is? 13 reasons why you should not commit suicide. May I ask, have you ever thought about that? And you're going to be shocked at what comes pouring out. I'm telling you, the kids these days, they are more than happy to talk about their feelings. They will emote all over you. Pretty much anything will be revealed if you show interest in them, because so many kids don't have an adult who actually asks them questions about themselves. Because there's a whole lot of kids that might be growing up with two parents under the same roof, but they are abandoning ship. And they are absent parents even as they live with their children. And you come along and say, hey, how are your emotions? How are you feeling these days about life? How are you doing? Are you struggling? Do you have any fears? This booklet will get you there. And then give it to them. And you might have an evangelistic encounter that could be profound. You could save their life and their life. You can get these at wretched.org, wretched.org. And as long as you're at your computer, which you are always in some way, shape, or form, send your emails with questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. Gentlemen, we're making time, remember?
Yes, and I'm reading for Alex, who said, I grew up in a church that believed eternal security is not of the Bible. So if you don't believe in eternal security, is that a works righteous religion?
If you say, I do not believe in eternal security, you're contradicting yourself. It's not contingent security. It's eternal security. It's eternal life. You don't have contingent life. You have eternal life. And it starts now. And it is a joyous doctrine. It is a glorious doctrine. Is it a work righteous system, however? And the answer to that is, I want to be very careful with this so that I don't accuse where an accusation isn't warranted. I suspect most people who adhere to that belief, and I do not think you are a moron because you do. I understand why there can be confusion on the subject. There are verses that indicate, that seem to point in the direction of you can lose your salvation. I get that. I think there's way more verses that make it much more clear. Oh, no, you can't. Furthermore, and to the heart of this question, if security, if life is not eternal, that is based on God, Jesus Christ, his work, and his ability to hold us fast and to keep us secure, to not have us snatched from his hand, I would simply ask this question. What do you need to do to stay there? What's your role in it? If it's not secure in Christ, then what are you doing? And if you say something like, well, I just have to keep on what? Believing? behaving, it gets dangerously close to a work that you are doing to keep yourself secure. I suspect most people don't think of it in those terms. I suspect if you ask most people, they go, no, I'm not working, I'm not doing anything. But you must be doing something to keep yourself secure. Otherwise, I guarantee you, you wouldn't be. Or the option is Jesus is. And Jesus does it all, and you are indeed secure, and you are safe, and he is not going to just charter the ship and hopefully bring it into port after going through some rocky roads. I guess I just mixed my metaphor. The wavy, the tossed seas, well, it's kind of rough out there, but he'll bring it into port. No, he's in control of what happens on the seas, and he's going to bring you safely home because he's got you. Be careful if you are not believing in eternal life / eternal security. I think they're one and the same thing. It could be that you are thinking that you're doing something to stay in his good grace. You're staying, you're doing something, and you're not. And that's such good news. His arm is mighty. He is strong, and he's got you. And that will not cause you to leave the faith. It's going to cause you to enjoy being in the faith and appreciate him more and not fall into a potential trap of work righteousness. Idea at wretched.org.
Excuse me, sir. Since sensuality is everywhere, how does a person go about desensitizing themselves?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear a word of that after excuse me, sir.
was
that just you butting in, or was that the actual email?
That's the actual email.
Okay, so it's a capital sir. First of all, it's Mr. Sir to you. you're in a saturated society that of just nothing but sin and debauchery. How do you, I want to make sure that I've got the language exactly right, sir.
Since sensuality is everywhere, how does a person desensitize themselves to it?
And it's hard. It's really hard because it is everywhere. You can't avoid it. You just can't, unless you fall into the ditch of middle-aged Christians. Get away from it. Go live in a monastery. Guess what? You can bring your thought life to a monastery. You can. So you can be sensual in your brain. You don't need images on your computer. You can write a movie script in your own noggin. So this is simply a discipline that you make a covenant with your eyes, like Job did. When you see something that is attractive to you, don't look. Just bounce those eyes. Get them off. Repent. Move on. Don't put yourself in those situations. And I might suggest to you, if you really want to do something hard, ask your friends to critique what you're consuming, because it is such a slippery slope, isn't it? The movies that we can watch, the show, they don't blaspheme much. There's not a lot of nudity. They don't actually show them doing that behind closed doors. Well, they show it a little bit, but not like a lot. Okay, you're slipping down the slope and you have a deceitful heart and you probably need some friends to help you go, hey, bro, hey, sis, not a good idea. That Christian romance business, your little Amish liaison that you're having there in your brain, probably need to clean that up. We need each other to help us and to hold one another accountable lovingly. So I don't think we can escape it. I don't think we're supposed to. We're supposed to be in the world, not of the world. And it is a constant battle, especially in our society. And by the way, it could be worse. Go to Europe. Take a little trip. And you'll struggle to turn on the TV. It's like, whoa. Put that clicker down. What's going on there? What are they doing? And that's daytime, nighttime, whatever. The billboards. You walk by the windows of what is displayed there. If you think Victoria's Secret is bad, woo. It can get worse. We're in the world. We need to discipline ourselves and to think on things that are pure, lovely, noble, worthy of praise. And smut ain't that. Hmm. It's not easy. It's not easy. Especially, I don't even want to say especially for men, because there's different sensualities, if I might broaden the term just a little bit and perhaps have a wider semantic range. We think sensual, like sexual, visual. Oh, no, sure. There can be sensual feelings that women have that maybe aren't even sexually driven, but are a passion. They're a desire. They're something that they really need to feel some sense of satisfaction. Or they do the escaping through imaginations. Gotta watch out. Even watching. Get ready for this. Even watching a Hallmark movie can be dangerous if you're not careful. You gotta guard your heart. Always. What do the Hallmark movies present? Why do people like them? I just wish life were like that. I just wish my boyfriend, I wish my girl, I wish my wife would. I wish we lived in a town like, I wish I had a job like, I wish my happy ending always ended up that way. Got to be careful. Even a Hallmark movie can tempt you and be sensual in its own way. Now, I think for most of us men, Hallmark movies tempt us to sin in other ways. Oh, come on, this is so stupid. How can you watch this dumb? But that's a different type of sinning altogether. Guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will what? Will what? Peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through faith in Christ Jesus. Guard, guard, guard. And as you guard, God will guard your heart too. And it's a battle. This is Wretched Radio.
Hermeneutics. The Bible is not a manual. While it should be read literally, the books fit into a variety of genres, including narrative, poetry, prophecy, and epistle. How we understand and apply scripture begins with identifying what genre we are reading. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ain't no excuse for not knowing your hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio.
Herman, exactly.
The first time that I actually taught Herman Who or hermeneutics, which, by the way, is available at wretched.org, was in Ukraine. That was a lesson in humility. I thought the brilliant American Christian will go over and teach these ill-educated Ukrainians how to rightly divide the word of truth. Man, oh man, did they shame me. What a sinful attitude. I was at a Tomorrow Club. They were doing one of the, I think they'd still do it annually. We're about now, I think about 2,500 volunteers typically come to Kyiv for training. And they asked me to go over to be a part of the Tomorrow Club's training and to teach hermeneutics, among other things. And seriously, it's just sinful, awful. I thought, well, they don't know any of these things, so I'll just make it real basic. And they started asking me questions, and I'm like, hello, where'd you learn that? And several of them were like, seminary.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'll tell you, the Tomorrow Clubs, they do an amazing job. They actually do train their teachers and their leaders around Eastern Europe. They take theology seriously, and they preach the gospel rightly. I was so blessed when I was there and humbled for being so sinful and arrogant. If you want to support your own Tomorrow Club, they're kids camps. They mean all over Eastern Europe. They bring the kids together. They teach the gospel. They love all over them, and they get saved, and their families get saved, and those little abandoned churches start getting fuller and fuller and fuller. It's an amazing ministry. $30 a month, 30 little disciples. TomorrowClub.org/wretched, TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. And as long as you're at your computer, you could send an email with a question, comment, conundrum, or snark to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. To the mailbag we go.
And that's what Bridget did. She is depressed about the loss. She said, I know they deserve hell, but I deserve hell too, yet God has saved me. At the present moment, hasn't saved them. So how do I go about living with this depressing knowledge?
I wouldn't change much. It should that should motivate us. It shouldn't drive us to despair. It should cause us to have a fire, a passion to see them won. It should also give us joy. What? He saved me? Out of the myriads, he chose me for salvation and everlasting life. It doesn't give you an attitude. It gives you more humility than teaching a hermeneutics lesson at a Tomorrow Club meeting in Kyiv, Ukraine. You should be humbled by that knowledge. It should bring joy, but we never want to lose that concern for the loss. Don't ever get over that. Now, should it cause you to be depressed? I wouldn't use the word depressed, perhaps just the word she chose, but let it be the fuel that gets you out there. to evangelize. And if you can't go, then hold the rope for somebody who can and will. Be involved somehow. Take an inventory on your life. What are you doing to support evangelism? Is there a ministry you could support? At this moment, it would just be downright embarrassing if I said wretched.org/donate. But I'm just saying, support somebody. You're involved now in evangelism. You are partnering together in the gospel. Or you can get tracts. We will give them to you. What time is purple? Wretched.org/purple. Give them away. Put them in the mail. We know people because I know, because I see them and I know them. They own businesses. I want to tell you about one of them, but I can't tell you his name because he might not want me to do that. But in his business, he just asked for 2,500 copies. The Man Who Split Time. Our booklet, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Do you know what he's going to do with them? Put them inside of the packages that he sends to people who have purchased from his business.
That's awesome.
You can do something. Do something. Do something. Now, that might change in a year or 10 years. You don't have to be up on a soapbox in Times Square preaching the gospel. Somebody could or should. It doesn't have to be you. Figure out your evangelism thing. Let that motivation of being sad light your fire to seek and to save the lost. Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org.
Another opportunity for a shameless plug here, Todd. Is it possible for you to determine the difference between someone who is backslidden and a false convert?
What resource are you thinking? Are you a rotten fish? Yes. Available at wretched.org/fish. Thanks for joining the program today. We'll be back on the what's the channel where Colleen Lopez is shilling stuff? We need to change what is that? I used to work with Colleen Lopez.
QVC.
Interestingly enough, she was a very nice lady. QVC. Yeah, welcome to QVC, formerly Wretched. You can find out who's a true and false convert in your life if you just get our booklet. Now, we got to be careful on this one. Only God determines the fate of the ungodly. That is his ultimate role. Nevertheless, that does not mean that we are not called to make some of those decisions on earth. That is what church discipline is for. That would be the keys of the kingdom. No, we don't determine who's saved and who's not, but we can proclaim if you're living in unrepentant sin, you're not. If you haven't repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're not. If you have, you are. So we can make those proclamations. When somebody who professes to be a Christian isn't acting like one, that's where church discipline comes in. Be careful. Here's a word that guides me a lot. Pastoral. It's a noble title. It's a loving shepherd who wants to protect people, but nurtures too. He's sweet with the sheep. That's the point of the sheep dog. Because if the shepherd is too stern with the sheep, if he uses his rod of authority too severely, they scatter from him. And so the sheep dog, they go and bite. And then they come running to whom? The loving shepherd. Be a loving shepherd when you're talking to somebody. Not, hey, I saw you do. Be pastoral. Ask a lot of questions. See how they're doing. See what's going on. What's motivating this thing? Perhaps it's just a blind spot. Maybe they're going through a struggle. Maybe something bad happened in their life. Come alongside of people and do judge, but with righteous judgment. Matthew 7 is don't judge with a haughty attitude. John chapter 7 is judge with righteous judgment. Do it pastorally and out of a motivation of concern. Look for fruit. Ask about the fruit. Ask about their affections. I think one of the best questions that is a temperature taker for anybody is another P word, and it's not pastoral. Precious. And I don't mean Jimmy Hicks, precious Jimmy. Is Jesus precious to you? That's a challenging word, isn't it? Is he your treasure? Bible uses the word treasure about a lot of things. Two, really, that I can think of. One would be, well, there's earthly treasures, baubles and things, but they are always used biblically, especially in the Psalms, to point to what? Something more precious. The Word of God. And ultimately, to the treasure of our salvation, God himself. That is our treasure. That is what should be precious to us. I was just reading an article. I think it was Nicholas Batzig was talking about from Feeding on Christ, I think. Nevertheless, he was talking about going with the kids to the Blue Ridge Mountains in Georgia, up way up north from Atlanta.
Yeah, I've been there.
And they'd go looking for rubies. And his son, they just caught on to it. Whatever the precious stone was, he just kind of got addicted to it. And the observation was, we're hardwired to find precious things. The most precious thing there is Jesus himself revealed in the Word. And if Jesus isn't precious to you, something's wrong. Now, it might just need an adjustment. It might just need some disciplining or some discipling. But if Jesus isn't the treasure to an individual, so ask somebody, hey, what's precious to you? College football's back. And my wife, got to say that. And my car, man, I got some new tools. I just love my new tools. Uh-oh. If Jesus isn't somewhere up there, then there could be a big problem, and we should lovingly seek it out. Idea@wretches.com. Yeah, I got to ask. All right, so let me ask you. Forget other people. Is Jesus precious to you?
You asking me?
I'm asking everybody. Tens and tens of people right now. Is Jesus precious? And if he's not, if there's been a waning, get on it. Fight for it. Get back in the game. Discipline yourself. Do what needs to be done to rekindle your focus. And I'm telling you, ministers, you are probably at the top of the list. What? They should be the ones that are always thinking about Jesus. Yeah, they're always thinking about Jesus. And I don't mean this crudely, but regularly it's because it's their job.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that here. We're about Jesus' business all the time, but that doesn't mean that Jesus is always on our hearts and minds. We can be busy with tasks, and we can be distracted into thinking, I'm doing Jesus' work, and that is good. I don't want to make the Mary Martha distinction here that all work for Jesus is bad and you just need to be sitting around the fire thinking Jesus' thoughts. No. But if he's not precious, and if he's not in your throughout the day near, even as you're studying your Bible, is the thought of Jesus precious and is he near? And a pastor can study for a sermon on Sunday and not esteem Jesus as precious. I don't know. You don't know. We have to examine our hearts, and we need to bring in friends to help us to draw out those deep wells, which we have a difficult time figuring out for ourselves. We need one another in this task to make sure that for all of us, Jesus remains precious because he is. Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. Who needs rich little? You might have to Google that. When you've got me, don't know if you realize this, I do impressions, and this is my impersonation of Dr. John MacArthur. I'll just riff, ad-lib about the Master's Academy International in hopes that you will consider supporting your own mini-seminary in one of 17 nations around the world. Here we go.
Strong pastors in strong churches impact the entire culture from the inside. And that is the vision of TMAI, to go when we are invited by indigenous pastors who want to do it biblically. And that's our mission.
Not bad, eh? Would you please check out the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor and consider adopting a seminary overseas? The fruit, magnificent. As John MacArthur would say, wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thank you for joining us here on Wretched Radio today. And we want you to take some time to visit the Wretched website, wretched.org. The Wretched website contains amazing content, full 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, full 60-minute Wretched radio episodes. Our Wretched store contains over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and Don't Stub Your Toe. And the Wretched library is where you can find a whole bunch of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology to marriage to evangelism. And you can also visit our donate page where you can prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner. Because without the support of our listeners just like you, there would be no Wretched. So if you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? We can't do this without you. You can find all of these resources available to you right now at wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Don't tell me you couldn't use a little encouraging news. This is from Paul Marty. He is the executive director of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Clubs, meeting all throughout Eastern Europe to bring empowerment. impoverished nations and families the gospel.
You know, most Tomorrow Clubs work in former communist communities where we find so many kids and families living hopeless lives. But with the help of the Wretched Audience, we've been able to bring the gospel, hope, and long-term discipleship to thousands of kids in these forsaken communities.
Praise God for that. Would you please consider joining our effort to reach these kids and their families to strengthen local churches in Eastern Europe? $30 a month, 30 disciples. It is an outstandingly efficient gospel-centered ministries. Please prayerfully consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a curse for us. When Adam sinned, all creation came under a curse, and everyone who breaks God's law is cursed. But Jesus bore our curse on the cross so that we may receive the blessings of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Get your stuff at wretched.org. Get your stuff at... I'm so sorry. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org, the program formerly known as QVC. Questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks, please send them to idea@wretched.org to the mailbag. Veer Gayen.
Does that mean we go? Yes.
I thought that was pretty obvious.
All right. Well, I want you to think back younger Friel time. Do you ever visit any arcades?
Do I have to... go back to younger Friel time?
I'd like you to travel there
with me.
Because
I'll be honest with you, I don't like pre-salvation Friel at all.
Well, just a simple question. Do you like gaming?
Oh, gaming?
Yeah, like Atari, you know, probably Miss Pac-Man, those kind of things.
Miss Pac-Man.
Or Mr. Pac-Man, well, either
was,
or.
Okay, was there a difference? They both went, hum, 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 hum. One had a pink skirt on. Was there any difference in the complexity of the game?
No, absolutely not.
I don't think so. Pong. Oh, the Pong. Now, those were the good old days. Boop. 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 How
did
exciting that was.
Did it ever get more intense as you played
that? Yeah, you made the paddle smaller and you sped up the ball. Boop. Never caught for me. I just okay. That crack just never caught well, my brain.
Well, listen, Anthony here, he is into gaming. He does plenty of gaming tournaments, quite a few. And he goes to these tournaments and he says he's able to share the gospel with people that he would otherwise never meet. Gaming nowadays is virtually. So he says some people heavily involved in the gaming scene may not even go out and meet other people often. Could this be a way to share the gospel, to reach out to them?
Sure. I can eat 800 banana splits and say, but I can maybe witness to the waitress. So I just want to be careful that I'm not using potential evangelism to make a bad decision about the use of my time. Can you use it for that? Well, of course you can. We can pretty much justify anything. So, Anthony, my first question would be, just watch your heart. Are you looking for an excuse to spend an inordinate amount of time doing something that maybe there's better options to consider? So search your heart. Are you being pure in your motivations? Second, I would like to encourage you to consider, at what point does a game get left behind? And I don't mean this in a Jerry Jenkins kind of way. No Tim LaHaye references intended. When should a man say those childish things are being left behind? There is a time when we can decompress and play games. But I think that there's a difference in games. I can't cite a Bible verse for you, but I think there's a difference between playing whatever, Nintendo, whatever the game is these days that's popular, there's a bunch of them, and playing tennis or playing golf or playing frisbee or playing catch. Or Marco Polo there's a difference in maturity levels of activities. And whilst I would be very slow to say, well, that's a sin for you to participate in that, I would simply challenge all of us. Are we taking the time to consider how we're using our time with our activities? We have discretionary time and we can use it. And we don't want to become legalists, but are we doing biblical activities? You say, well, what are biblical activities? It doesn't talk about Nintendo. No, but the Bible does give us some instructions about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. If you would, let me take you to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. As for you, speak the things which are proper and sound doctrine. So he's talking about the pastor, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Why is he addressing older men here? Because there's a difference in older men and younger men. And the goal here is to act like this. So this should be the ideal. The older men should be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Now, what do those things mean? Reverent. This requirement is not limited to reverence for God, which is assumed, but also refers to being honorable and dignified. They are to be sensible, spiritually healthy, mature. We comport ourselves differently. We act like men, you say. That sounds somewhat subjective. I grant you it is somewhat subjective, and yet there is a difference in seeing. I want you to imagine R.C. Sproul, if he were still with us, on a pogo stick. Boing, 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 boing. Hey, what are you doing, R.C.? Boing, boing. I'm off to baptize some babies. Boing, boing. You go, that doesn't work. He's a dignified man. He shouldn't be on a pogo stick. All right. If that applies to a pogo stick, how does it apply to gaming? How does it apply to our activities? Is it dignified? Because we're supposed to be. Hold on. The text isn't done. Older women, you're not left out of this. Likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Women, you too. Likewise, so those things that apply to men, likewise, you are supposed to be godly and dignified. Because you're more mature, you're older. Hold on, Paul's not done. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Young men, be dignified. You're different than your peers. I know you're drawn to them. You like hanging with them. They are not your role model. Older men are. Strive to be like them. But that's not fun. Maybe. And I'm not saying there's no place for fun, but we should be doing activities that are dignified and mature. Ask yourself the question, is gaming mature? Is it dignified? You say, I think it is. How do we know? I grant you it's somewhat subjective. What is the general opinion of the public? Let's just do a little Pew research by considering stereotypes. When people talk about young men who are not accomplishing much, how is the picture painted?
In the basement playing video games.
Boom. Jimmy? Did we rehearse that?
No, we did not.
That's true. That's just the stereotype. You're not doing much. You're playing video games. And again, video games can be a distraction that are not sinful, but we're called to high. We're called to bigger and better and deeper and richer and more profound. And this word dignified, and it applies in a lot of ways. Let's say R.C. Sproul, our beloved brother, is alive again. Go ahead. I double dog dare you to visualize him in skinny jeans. Go ahead. I'll wait right here.
What's wrong with you people?
What's wrong? Why are you using my good name to make a point about games, Friel? You know, I never got to meet R.C. Sproul. That's a lament. That's because he never wanted to meet me. But the point is, you go, that just doesn't work. And there are certain things that just don't work. Ask yourself, the games work for a dignified man? idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org.
All right, David has a question, and I think this is a really good question to end the show on. Is witnessing only via living a good life or a good Christian example before others, is that just a cop-out?
Is that a cop-out?
Mm-hmm.
Can be.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy, Now we got, we still got 3 minutes. When you said we're going to end the show. What are you going to do now?
Well, that was
Phil, man, Phil.
Come on, get some, put some meat on it. Put some meat on the bones there, Todd.
And we should be living a good life. It undergirds our testimony. But the gospel must be spoken. Nobody gets saved from just watching somebody. Wait a second. Go back to the book of Titus. Go back to the book of 1 Peter, where it talks about the godly women, that their husbands got saved without a word. Hold on. It's not that they never spoke a word. They were speaking words, but his point was to state that your godly behavior, they know the gospel, they see it, and then what? What is the theme of 1 Peter? They're going to desire what you want based, what you have based on your behavior. It's the entire theme. Same thing is true with godly women and an unsaved husband. They see your behavior, and it's like, okay, I give. What? Tell me about it. I got to understand this because I want what you have. The gospel must be spoken. The gospel must be proclaimed for people. How will they hear if nobody goes and preaches? So we've got to speak it, and our life should undergird it. And I will say this, though, which will sound like a concession, but I don't want it to be in any way, shape, or form. There might be times in your life, in your marriage, as if you were a child with ungodly parents, that you don't have to say anything. You can just give it a rest. The assumption is you already have, or your plan is to, once the temperature is brought down a little bit because of your wonderful behavior, and you can even in some circumstances, proclaim the gospel to somebody and say, now, just so you know, because I can tell you're agitated with me, I won't bring this up again until you do. But I just want to make sure you understand this gospel, that you are a fallen sinner, that Jesus is a righteous Savior who died for sinners, who is the propitiation between man and God, and that there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll turn from your wicked ways and put your trust in him, your sins will be forgiven. You'll be adopted into the family of God. You'll have everlasting life. Do you understand that? You do? Great. Then until you bring it up again, I won't. And I'm just going to show you the effect of that great good news. There can be those seasons, but otherwise we need to be about the business of our master who modeled. The gospel must be proclaimed. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.